I have ice in my mouth. Good evening, everyone. I'm Chris, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Chris.
And start off, I hate podiums. I hate podiums, so I'm going to hold the mic, if you guys don't mind. Anyway, I got sober June 22nd, 2014, this year, and I really am really, it's an interesting story. I know we do how it was, what happened, how it was, and how it's like, how it is now. And I grew up in a fairly normal family. I had my dad was a pastor growing up. He worked a bunch of jobs, and I mean, he was the support for the family. Me and my siblings were spaced just perfectly enough apart that whenever one of us would get old enough to kind of take care of ourselves, the next kid would be on the way. And so I'm the fourth of five. Now, I started drinking when I was 14 years old, when I picked up my first drink. I was in Massachusetts for my aunt's wedding, and they had two different punches there, and one was an alcoholic punch and one was a non-alcoholic punch. And I decided that I was going to drink the alcoholic punch because I liked it more. I didn't tell anybody that. I just was like, I didn't know which was which. You know, the excuses we make, even at a young age. And so I got a little tipsy on that, and my cousins noticed, and they decided that night it'd be really funny to get me really shit-faced. So they, excuse my language, so they basically got me up on vodka and Coca-Cola for till early in the morning. I was blackout drunk the first time I ever drank. And the next day I went to the beach with the worst hangover ever, came back and did it again the second night. So I did it. My first experience drinking was a blackout drunk, and my second experience drinking was the very next day a blackout drunk, right after having a terrible hangover. So if that gives you any idea, that was the pace for the rest of my drinking career. The only thing that stopped me from drinking when I was drinking was either I could no longer consciously take a drink, or there was nothing left to drink. It didn't matter. It didn't matter how drunk I got. I would continue to drink until I could no longer do it anymore. And it's been that way for the past 8 years of my life. When I worked as a delivery driver the past 4 years, and I was also in the reserves in the military, and active duty now. But I was a delivery driver for a Pizza Hut, and I would drink till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on a regular basis when I had to open the store at 8 or 9. And when your hangover hits you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when you've been at work for several hours, usually that's a problem. And when your job is to drive and deliver pizzas, I was driving drunk every day for almost 4 years straight. For me, being sober is awesome. I love being sober. I'm going to not spend as much time on my drinking career just because life is much better now than it was then. I mean, I got one more story I'm going to tell about. It was my last time out. It was June 20th. I was in Morehead City, North Carolina, TDY, on a military mission. We were backloading a boat, which basically means we're just taking all the gear that was taken off the boat when we went to dry dock and putting it back on the boat. Not real complicated. But anyway, the last night there was a Friday night, and the guys I was up there with were all like, hey, let's go hit up the bars. There had just been a big fishing competition up there. It was Blue Marlin, I think. But they were like, let's go hit up the bars. And before the bars, they were like, we're going to go to the gym. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go hang out at the hotel before we go out, which meant I was going to go cruise the bars before I went out with them so I could have a couple drinks to myself and then go meet up with them and then go have some more drinks. So a couple drinks was basically like 6 or 8. And then I drove from the bar to my friend's house, had another 2 drinks there. Then we went to Roadhouse, where I had another six, eight drinks. The total comes out to be about 30 drinks in about 6 hours. And yeah, I hear somebody whistle. That's about right. When I told this story to the people at ADAPT, which is a military program for people who have addiction problems, that was probably the story that made them recommend that I was in a locked facility for treatment. Because they were like, you should be dead right now. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know. I mean, the number of times I drove drunk, I should be dead, or somebody should be dead. But I am blessed. I'm truly blessed that I've never been arrested. I've never been in handcuffs. I've never killed anyone. I've never been in a serious car accident due to alcohol. I am truly blessed, and I owe it all to my higher power. I know that he had something in plan. And I know that, and before, like moving to Tampa, especially, I see now as a God thing. Before, it was just coincidence. But I look at it now, of all the little things that had to happen in order for me to end up here. Because originally, I wasn't supposed to come here. Originally, I was supposed to go to Morehead City, North Carolina, which would have been the place where I last drank. And I would have been stationed there, and you can guess how that probably would have gone. But I couldn't have got sober back home. I went back home recently, and the area where I lived, there weren't a lot of meetings around where I used to live, and they weren't in places where I would have been found dead at. And when you're in a comfortable position as an alcoholic, you like to stay in that comfortable place. And so I was comfortable where I was drinking and when I was drinking and how I was drinking when I was there. And I had to uproot and move here. And I spent a month as an alcoholic here before I went to a treatment center and got sober. I learned a lot about myself when I was in there. I learned about why I drank, about what it was that I did. I mean, the reasons behind it. I had to dig up a lot of old memories that I had buried below tons and tons of just numbness. My greatest gift that I feel from sobriety is the fact that is emotions in general, good and bad. Because I drank to be numb. I drank because I didn't like to feel anything, period. I don't know the last time I had a real, like, cared about somebody. My dad, when I was in my drinking, my dad had a brain aneurysm, a brain bleed. And my mom called me that night, and my reaction to her when she told me that my dad's in the hospital and he could die from this was, oh, I have to work tomorrow. And I went to bed. Because I didn't care. And this was my own dad. When a normal person would drop everything and go, hey, my dad's in the hospital, this could be my last hours with him alive, I'm going to go see my dad. Luckily, he survived. But just that idea. And it came to the point where my parents, my family wouldn't tell me when somebody was in a bad situation. I would be the last person to know. And usually it'd be because I accidentally found out. It wouldn't be because then anybody had intended to tell me. Like, I came back, the last month I lived in Kansas City, I'd spent at the bottom of a bottle. I drank 2/5 or a handle a day for almost 30 days straight. And when I came back and I went to go see my parents and my grandparents for the last time before I was going to move down here, that was when they finally told me, oh yeah, by the way, your grandpa has a very severe form of stage 3 cancer, and they're treating it as stage 4, and he goes in for chemo the week after you get down to Tampa. And that was the first I'd heard of it, and they'd known for months. That being said, now they tell me things. I talk to my mom at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. I talk to my dad regularly. My grandparents call me. That I'm on a. They send me emails to constant updates of what's going on with my grandpa. I mean, my siblings. My little sister calls me. She's in college now, and which still blows my mind. But she's in college now, and my brother has a newborn baby, and my other brother is stationed in Germany. Well, so I don't hear from him very much, but. People want to talk to me now. People want to tell me what's going on. When before I was the floater who just kind of, I could disappear, I'd drop off the face of the world for a week at a time and nobody would text or call me or miss me because that was normal. I always, my mom put it as I always resurfaced. I'd disappear, I'd go under, but I'd always come back up. And so that became the norm. It's like, where's Chris? Well, somewhere. And I don't have to live that way anymore. I got sober. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. And he, I remember, we're going to get into Happy Land now. I remember when when I got to my fourth step, And I know everybody struggles with the four step, and I did too. I was dragging my feet. I didn't want to do it. My sponsor basically said, look, I need you to have this done by this date, or you need to find a new sponsor. Well, I really liked my sponsor, so I dug deep and I got it done, and I felt so much better when it was done. I don't know why anybody drags their feet on it, because the freeing feeling you get when you lay all that out and you see everything for what it is and you accept what you've done, the part that you've done, and you're willing to do something about it, it's like a huge weight lifts off your shoulders. At least it was for me. It was all these things that I'd kept bottled up that I could just like look at and say, oh, this isn't because I fucked somebody up. Excuse me. I usually curse like a sailor, so I'm really struggling with this right now. So it's not like I hurt somebody or somebody hurt me and I'm like, oh, I hate them so much. Well, I did this and this and this, so what they did wasn't really that bad, you know? You look at when you look at your side and you realize the part you played, it's I don't know. It pulled the pressure off of it. Pulled that hate out of me, where I usually don't use the word hate, because hate is a very strong word, and I like to think I don't hate anybody. There are people I dislike. There's always somebody you dislike, but the people that I did hate for certain things, that was pulled out when I was able to look at the side that I had. So those people that I just completely despised. I don't know, I'm kind of rambling now a little bit. But now, amends. That's a good one to talk about. Because I got to step 9. I actually flew home for 10 days to go visit people. But the real reason I went back was to make amends. And I made amends to my parents and my grandparents and a bunch of my old friends. I remember sitting in one of my friends' living room I'd made amends to him the day before, and I had stayed the night and hung out with him. And I just remember him coming out and sitting down, and I had a cup in my hand. And he looked at me, and he kind of did a double take. He's like, sorry, I just had a weird thought. I was like, what? He's like, well, I just assumed you had a glass in your hand that you were drinking. And I was like, oh. So that to me, what that says, that was the norm. Like, every time anybody saw me was with a glass in my hand, everyone just assumed I was drinking. And the fact that I don't have to do that anymore, and I don't do that anymore, and that my friends don't look at me like the drunk walking around, the guy who's always going to be, you know, plastered, it's different. Like, somebody told me I have a different aura. The way that I present myself is different than I used to, and that's just really good. I think that's all I got. So thank you.